Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. It's January 17, 2011, and this is episode 275. On December 17, 2010, I did a portrait shoot at a Christmas party where I'd set up my studio in a large restaurant here in Tokyo. And last week we took a look at the studio setup and I talked a bit about the technical side, the reasoning behind some of the gear, etc. And a little bit of the logistics of the shoot. And today I'm going to take you quickly through the actual portrait sessions, looking at an image from each and talking about anything that comes to mind that might be of use to you if you do similar shoots yourself. Before the Christmas party at which I was to be shooting, an email was sent out to all of my old colleagues with an offer to book their slot in advance so that they knew exactly what time to turn up, making planning their evening easier. Three families took us up on this, so I knew that there would have at least, there'll be some work during the evening. To be honest though, unless we got a minimum of another three groups, this was not going to pay a whole lot for the amount of work that we put into it. Now, any work of this kind is helpful in getting my name out and also building contacts, as any one of the people that were at the party is a potential future customer. So I don't want to sound as though I'm being totally mercenary about making money from this event, but we also need to keep in mind that this is now my sole source of income and I'm being conscious to put my energies into work that will help to forward my business either right away or in some form in the future. I did a little bit of canvassing, walking around the party, saying hello to old friends, and a few of them came to look at the studio and we would end up having their portraits shot. I had also created a large banner using Canon's vinyl scrim, which is a very durable poster paper that was visible from the main hall where the party was being held. So some people just stuck their heads in the door out of curiosity, and some of them that did that ended up having their portrait shot as well. A quick logistics tip here is that so that we could keep track of each group that had their portrait shot, we had each group hold up a piece of paper with their number on it. And this was basically, I made a photograph of this each time, and this was my place marker in Lightroom. And I used this number while fulfilling print orders, etc. It would have been possible without the number, just using the family's names, but there were order forms and other things to keep track of. So I just thought it would be easier to assign a number to each group. On the order forms for each session, I had the clients indicate whether or not they minded me using the resulting photographs in my marketing activities and sign the form if they're okay with it. It's not quite a model release, but it certainly gives me the ability to publish the photos here and on a new portraiture website that I will be putting together very soon. Although we started off a little slow, we ended up doing 9 sessions and 8 of the 9 groups agreed for me to use their images. So let's take a look at some of these now. This shot that if you're looking at the enhanced podcast on your iPod or iPad, then you'll be able to see the images now as we go through. If you're not, then do go over to the blog at mbp.ac/275 and you'll see the images and the transcript in the text in the blog post there. But basically, this shot that we're looking at right now is the first family. And this is actually the image that I chose as my favorite from the batch, but was happy when the family chose this out of a relatively large batch of images that I presented them with. But they chose this for their A4 Baryta print that I would be putting into a mounting board for them. So that felt really good. As I shot, there were times where I would have to raise or lower the key light or move it closer to the subject, etc. We also had to reposition the reflector a number of times, but generally, apart from these adjustments, the lighting is pretty much the same for 7 of the 8 groups. I would like to have gotten a little more experimental and tried a few more things, but with the subjects generally being at a party, we really only had 10 to 15 minutes with each group, so I just concentrated on getting a handful of nice shots for each group that they would be able to select a photo from that I would print and put into a matte mounting board. And the largest challenge or challenges came with the larger groups like this family of 5. It soon became obvious that we were going to need a large reflector to pop some light into the front of the subjects. And we moved that in a little bit to ensure that the light was nice and soft on everyone. You can see here that although everyone has a nice shadow along the left side of their faces as we view the photo, the kicker light from the left is ensuring that the side of their faces is highlighted too, giving the look that I was after. By the way, I chose a white background for this shoot for a number of reasons. Firstly, most Japanese people have black hair, so I wanted to ensure that it didn't blend into a black background. Also, the images would likely be used on the year-end postcards that the families would send out, so white would also probably give more options there too. Although I do like the dramatic look of a black background, I think in this case, the white background gave the images a light and airy feel to them. Black can be a little heavy sometimes, so all in all, I was happy with the decision to go with white. The next photo that we have up here is a father and daughter shot. We had a lot of fun here too, and you know, when I asked the dad to put his daughter on his shoulders, she promptly mussed up his hair. And having done so, gave me this beautiful, cheeky, look what I did sort of smile. This is actually the same image that this guy chose for me to do a 13 by 19 inch gallery wrap of, which looks great. We'll look at that a little bit later. These first two sessions were ones that had been booked, and things had been a little bit slow between sessions up to that point. But then a bit of canvassing on my part brought in the first impromptu clients that we can see here. Now, I know this guy very well, and I've also met his wife before. I went to the wedding party, actually. But many Japanese men put on a very serious face when having their photos taken. To get him to lighten up a little, I asked his wife to tickle him, and I personally ended up liking this shot the best out of the set because of that human interaction, not just between the couple, but also between me and them. On a technical side, also note that I raised the key light up to about 10 feet for this shot to remove the reflection of the light from their glasses. It's totally important to keep your eye out for small details like this while shooting, because you know it can be very easy to miss something like light reflecting in spectacles. Keeping your wits about you and remaining flexible throughout the shoot is highly important. The next image that we're going to look at here is a family that I photographed back in 2009 as well, as I started to prepare for my portrait business. They're a great looking family, and here I captured quite a personal moment as they got ready for the shoot. We went on to shoot a whole load of frames, but I really like this image as I was going back through the batch, and so I included it in their gallery. I was really pleased when they actually chose this for their mounted print. This just goes to show that you need to shoot opportunities like this, not just for yourself, but for the family that you're working with. It also reinforces the theory that people will often select the image that you least expect them to. And this helps to keep us, the photographer, open-minded when editing the results of our shoots. Note too that only the daughter's eyes are visible in this shot, which is also something that you would not expect of a portrait, but It works again because of the human connection element. You can almost sense the affection for the daughter in the parents and also the patience of the older brother who is probably used to his kid sister getting all of the attention. This next family was great too. Note that before I created the galleries for people to select their images, I created a Silver Effects Pro preset that worked well with the lighting and, you know, the lighting that I was using in the studio. And I created a Photoshop action that applied that preset to the images. Then I ran that action in batch against all of the images that I'd selected to show the clients. This makes it easy to present them with both a black and white and a color version of each shot. Around half of the clients selected the black and white version for their mounted print. A hint on posing that I recalled from this shot is that exaggerated positions usually look better in the photo. I usually have to ask people to get closer together and then closer still. The reason that I recalled this on this particular photo is because, again, there's so much motherly love in this family, I didn't have to direct them at all. The mum just pulled in her two daughters and re-grabbed a whole bunch of images in which I think they all look great. It's not a very good image to show you that as an example, but quite often I find that, you know, if you get people to exaggerate things a little bit, it looks just right on the image. This next image was also a pleasure to shoot. The little boy has a great little smile and he uses it a lot. He seems very happy and content, which is hardly surprising because, again, I know his dad well and he's an amazing person. There are few people that can think through a situation and do exactly the right thing pretty much every time, as well as this guy. I've known him since before he met his wife and, of course, before they had the little boy. So, again, it was a pleasure to make their photographs. This was another couple that I brought in following a bit of a walk around the party. And I'm happy that I did. I love this photo. And again, this is the one that they chose for their mounted print. By the time I photographed this next group, it was after 9 p.m. and we'd been at it quite a while. This was probably the most challenging group to shoot, though, just because of the number of subjects. Again, we had eyeglasses to watch out for reflection in, so the key light went high again. Also, though, there was not enough light making it into the centre of the group, so I had Jesse hand-hold a third Canon speedlight, shooting it through a 45-inch shoot-through umbrella, and we popped that into the middle of the group at an eighth of power, just to fill in the shadows a little bit. The other thing that was a problem now was keeping the white backdrop clean and uncreased under the subjects. In fact, as you can see, it wasn't really possible to do that, but it's going to stay that way. I removed most of the small specks and, you know, bits of dirt that had gathered, I removed those in Lightroom. But apart from that, it's staying this way. There's also a bit more room to the right of the group than the left, but I'll shift the image over to a bit to the right when I mount it. So that won't be a problem, at least for now. I could have reduced the size a little bit on the right, of course, just cropped it. But I figured that I'd show you my mistakes as well as what I really like. There was one couple that I have skipped because they didn't want me to use their photos. Although we as photographers, you know, own the copyright to our images, I still think that it's common courtesy to at least ask your clients if they mind you using their images in your marketing. When possible, a signature somewhere is nice too, even if it's, you know, not a full-blown model release, but when you can get a full-blown modern release, that's good too. Of course, if you intend to make your shots available for purchase from a stock site or something like that, then a model release is essential, but that's a whole other subject. So we'll look at two more images here now from the last session of the evening. It was 9:35 by this time, and we were certainly starting to flag, which is probably why I ended up standing on my USB cable that it was tethering the camera to the laptop and pulling it out. But I made sure when that happened that I didn't panic in front of the client and just calmly worked around the problems. The little boy here was really tired at this point, so it was a concerted effort from my wife and from Jesse, the assistant for the evening, to keep him smiling, as of course I was trying to do so as well. He's a great little lad though, and though we managed to keep him smiling for most of the time, he was a bit grumpy others, but I think we got some good shots. This second shot from this session of just the dad and his son is one of my favourites. This was something that I shot after we'd called it a wrap, but I couldn't resist shooting just dad and son as we relaxed after the shoot. I'm not sure if the families that were kind enough to have me photograph them or listen to this podcast episode or look at this blog post, but I did just want to publicly say that it was a pleasure to photograph each of them, and I really hope that they enjoyed the experience even half as much as I did. As I mentioned, 8 of the 9 families photographed opted for the package that included 1 A4 print done on Hornemuehle fine art Baryta paper and then put into a mount. I snapped a few of the prints in mounts that I used that I'll put in the Enhanced podcast and the blog post here so that you can see what they look like. For each family, I created a web gallery for them to look at the images and select the image that I would print for this mount. As a general policy, I do not provide my clients with full resolution images without adding a significant cost for that service. The reason for this is because I don't want people making crappy prints of my work and then showing them to other people. When someone sees a Martin Bailey portrait print, I want them to say, wow. And I have no control over that if I allow people to print their own images. As a special service for this particular shoot, I created medium-sized images that could be printed at 300 dpi on the New Year postcards that are customary to send here in Japan. Now, the problem with this is that the client can and probably will actually print those out pretty large, which is, of course, it will look worse than something that they could have printed had I given them the full-size data. This is a problem in and of itself, but still, in general, I'm going to try to stick to my policy of not giving people full-res images. The only way that I'm going to be able to convince people, though, that my prints are beautiful and are worth the additional cost is by providing one. So, usually, all my portrait work that I do includes 1 A4 Hornemuehle fine art print. It's on the Baryta paper. And I'm putting them in mounts like this. This way, even if people don't understand about the quality based on looking at samples or just my explanation, hopefully once they see a print of the quality that I produce, they will order more prints, which of course will increase the overall profitability of the shoot. I'm taking these mounted prints to my clients tomorrow, the ones from this shoot, so I'll see if my theory holds out. I've really only done a few of these shoots other than this one that we're talking about today, so I'm still really testing this strategy. But time will tell as I do more of this sort of work if my strategy is working or not. Of course, I can't pretend that my entire reason for not wanting to give the full resolution images up is based on totally on quality. The other reason I don't want people making their own prints is because I want to be paid for making them myself. I enjoy printing and making gallery wraps now too, and because of the equipment that I now own and my skill as a printer, which I believe is pretty good, I know that I can provide a quality service, but I also want to charge as a quality service. If people want average prints of their precious new portraits, or they absolutely definitely require the full-sized image data, but they aren't prepared to pay extra for that, then they'll have to find a different photographer. It's my plan to continue to build my brand of quality to the point where people will come to me for their portraits, even if it costs a little bit more than the next guy. If they don't understand my quality proposition, I won't win the job, but it's their loss too. Plus, I'll have more time to concentrate on working with the clients that get it. As I mentioned earlier, one of the clients ordered a 13 by 19 inch gallery wrap of one of the photos from his session in addition to the A4 mounted print. And this is the first gallery wrap of a portrait that I've done for a client. And this was very satisfying for me too. It makes me incredibly proud to know that now, you know, in addition to my nature fine artwork, my portrait work is also going to be displayed on people's walls. There have been people that have told me that I'm making a mistake for trying to make a living from two totally different photographic genres. But in the coming years, I think I'm going to be able to prove them wrong. It takes more than one revenue stream to make it these days. And I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but I have no intention of becoming a poor photographer complaining how difficult it is to make a living these days. So, before I jump on my soapbox on that, let me finish here. And I hope that you've enjoyed walking through these portrait sessions with me today and some of the resulting images. And I hope that some of the tips that I interwove in there have been of some use. So thanks for listening today, and remember that you can find me on Flickr and Facebook, as well as Twitter, and of course my blog and the Photography Forum. All links are at the top page on martinbaileyphotography.com, so do drop by, and I'll be back next week with another episode. But in the meantime, you just have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye bye.
This is Dave Warner, and I'm the host of the LensFlare35.com podcast. Each week I bring you interviews with some of the top photographers using digital SLR cameras. They share some of their coolest tips and tricks, techniques, and news about what they're up to. So please take a moment to visit the website or subscribe to LensFlare 35 on iTunes.
The Martin Bailey Photography Podcast is a proud member of the Photocast Network. Find this and other great photography podcasts at photocastnetwork.com.